We're going to try, just for the sake of an announcement, we're going to try to take the 6 o'clock hour and carry it into the 7 o'clock. So just in case you want to know, say, where's he coming from? Well, I'm coming from 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock reaches 7. In Romans chapter 10, you are familiar with the words used over and over again, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. He that hath an ear to hear. Here's our little word, verb, to hear. You read it in the scripture reading, Romans 10 and verse 17. I'll even read verse 16 to tie it together. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Our report. So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word, the verb, to hear. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And where are we going to get the hearing? From the word of God, the source, the agency. And so here's the hearing. Here it means to hear. To hear, to have an ear. To have an ear, mind. To hear with the mind. M-I-N-D. To hear with the mind. To hear with a thought. Thought. It means to hear with understanding in order to do it. To do something with understanding. Not just to hear one ear and out the other. It means to hear and do something with what you hear. And thus, it is translated obey. Obey, same word, but you know where it comes from. You want to hear in order to do it. Obey. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Picking up, please, if I may, in verse 2, 1 Peter 1, 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit being set apart by the Spirit of God, unto for what reason, in what direction? Obedience, the word to hear, set apart to hear with the ears. Set apart to hear with the ears. Close, remember the illustration, close the phone booth, the old-fashioned phone booth. Close the phone booth. Cut out the noise so you can hear with the ear. Now, obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So, God, what do you want us to do? He that hath, hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Hear with a view to his understanding and doing it. Over, if you would, to verse 14, same word. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Obedient, hearing. As hearing children, children that hear with a view to understand, with a view to do what you hear. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Sliding down again, if I may, to verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls by, purify your souls, how so? In obeying, in hearing the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, obeying, hearing the truth. Here, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, looking to God's word. God's word, our ear picks up what is said, and picking up what is said, it gives us instruction, direction on what to do. It guides, it governs, it helps us. So now, in the light of that, over, if you would, please. Oh, in the light of that obedience, over to Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, picking up, if I can, in verse 8. Philippians 2, I'm even going to get a little better background going up to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, to be equal with God. He was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. Why did he need to become human, like have perfect humanity? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here's our word to hear, and then the word under. To hear under, to be in submission under. You hear it, and you're in submission, obedience, under. You hear, and you bend down to follow and heed the instruction. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in perfect humanity, bent down and said, "Not my will, but thine be done. Let this cup pass from me, but if not, your will." Bow down. To hear, he was obedient. Hang on to that. Now, over if you would, again, Hebrews and chapter 5. Hebrews and chapter 5. And may I pick up, please, in verse 7. Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Remember, not my will, but thy will be done. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. There's your word to hear with a view to do something. With understanding, with submission. Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience. His will yielded to God's will obediently. His thought yielded to God's thought. His pleasure yielded to God's pleasure. Yielded. I hear. God, here I am, living my life, coming and going, work, home, school, play, eat, drink, coming, whatever we do, God, and we're to have a wonderful, wonderful sense of you, dependent, God's wonderful presence, so that in all that we do, whatever we eat or drink, you know, God doesn't tell you what to eat at Friendly's. Whatever you eat or drink, do it with thanksgiving to my glory and honor. So God, I'm looking to you. Our Lord, in perfect obedience, he learned it 1,000%. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey, that hear. He that hath an ear to hear, do you hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches? Here, now, in verse 9, unto all them that obey him. So, God, how do we get saved? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to listen to the Word of God, so we know. We need to know what to do, how we know. I don't know, God, what do you want? I want you to believe and trust me and enjoy, experience, exercise all the truth that I have made possible in my Son by way of his death, burial, and resurrection. He is seated at my right hand. I want that all to work out in your life. Now, in Hebrews, over if you would, in the light of our Lord, then what did you expect in history of men and women, boys and girls, as they travel down born on planet Earth? What did you want of them? You wanted them to hear you. You wanted them to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You wanted them to understand, to hear with an ear, to obey. Chapter 11, Hebrews. Hebrews 11. And you remember in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Impossible means impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe. You have to believe. That's the only thing God asks. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, you got to, what do you got to believe? That he is, H-E-I-S, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you seek him with all your heart, you will what? Find him. All right. So now, what? Here's Abraham. Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after recover, receive, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. He heard and he went. He heard and he went. He obeyed. Translate to have an ear, to be an ear witness, to hear with the ear of the mind, or say, I obeyed. I heard you. I heard. Now, having said that, Abraham learned by obedience that it was not Abraham at all. Abraham, it isn't going to be your power or your anything. You're going to learn. You're going to learn there are no shortcuts, Abraham. There's no quick way around something. You have to go from the first grade, the second grade, the third grade, the fourth grade, the fifth grade. You don't go from 5 years old to 25. You go 5, 6, 7, 8. You have to go in steps in order to get there properly. And so, here's Abraham. And Abraham, there's no shortcuts. You can't act in yourself, by yourself, for yourself, of yourself, because it will only be yourself. And if it's no greater than you, then it's only as good as you are, Abraham. No more than you. And thus, Abraham had to learn. He had to learn what we've been sharing about. God, in your wonderful will, you have created us to be a vessel fit for your use. You did not make us like a bird, a bug, a beast, a fish. No. They all have wonderful instinct, as we shared. They all marvelously do, meticulously, what they are designed for. Wonderfully what they're designed for. They don't have to think about it. They just do it. They repeat everything without ever being instructed about building a nest, about flying, about anything, a spider web, perfect spider web for that kind of spider, built over and over and over by spiders that never, never had any instruction. God's wonderful ability, instinct. But you and I, as creatures made in his image and likeness, don't have that instinct. No, little babies are of human babies. I think we're the most helpless of all human, of all babies, period. Wow, we're the most helpless. And God, why? You made us not to have instinct. You put in us and designed us in your image and likeness to contain and house your wonderful person. So when you looked at us, you found yourself. And when we looked at you, we found ourselves. A wonderful, unique relationship. You made us like that, God. That's right. Now, in the light of that, here's Abraham. And you know from Romans 7 and all of that, you know that Paul had to go through the great education. That's why it was the beginning of his education, where he had to learn these truths about nothingness. The Lord said, I do nothing of myself, so that God can be all in all. That doesn't mean I'm indifferent, sloppy, lazy at all. I am fully alert, fully awake, fully involved, in full dependence upon a wonderful God my God, to help me. And that's what he did. Now, here we are. Here's Abraham. Abraham, here's Paul later. Paul, you had to go, Romans 7, etc. You had to learn that in your flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. You had to learn, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You had to learn that. I did. You had to learn it. I did. Abraham, our Lord learned all this by obedience. He followed God's lead, hearing ear instructions, and he went all the way to the cross as in God's wonderful will for him. And so Abraham, Paul, ourselves, learning what did you learn, Abraham? What'd you learn? That it isn't my good. It isn't my good. It's God's good. God's good. And by the way, Abraham said, I'm not God. God is God. I'm not God. I'm not good. God is. I'm not. He is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is all of these. I am not. I am a creature created to enjoy his wonderful person and presence. Now, in the light of that, I'm not light. I'm not wise. I'm not fullness. I'm not. I'm not anything. I'm nothing. Peace? I'm not peace. I'm not joy. I'm not power. I'm not wisdom. God, you are. You are all of things. You're to be my all in all, so that I, instead of trusting in my humanity, which never goes any more than other than itself, never goes more than that. From dust it is, and to dust it returns. Never more than that. God, are we for more? We're more than that, aren't we? It's more. We aren't the marvel of nature, the marvel of animal life and creatures and butterflies and bugs, birds and bugs. We're more than that. Aha, you are wonderfully more than that. Wow. So now, in the light of that, Abraham, and thus in the process, we want to show God's wonderful person. And therefore, we want to have a wonderful positive demonstration of God. Therefore, we understand God is good, God is wise, God is light, God is fullness, God is. And we're going to give the credit and allow God to do it. So when God does it, God's there to do it. God is good. So when God in your life is exercised and you allow him and enjoy him to exercise his wonderful goodness towards you, it shows itself out here. His wonderful grace towards you, it shows itself out here. And people see it. That's what they need to see. That's what's wonderful. God, it isn't my grace. It isn't my goodness. It isn't my love. It's yours. Wow. So now God here is all coming out. So that in the process, again, it's not our fullness, it's yours, it's our nothingness for your allness. Wow. And thus, it's truth, I don't have truth, but I am to be available for truth to reign and rule in my body. I'm not real in the sense I don't have the wonderment. I'm subnormal because God created me for another purpose. Humans, when they sin, drop a level. They're below. They aren't what they should be at all. And we settle in for that standard. But God said, this is normal up here when I rule and reign in your heart and life. Not down here. This is where the world system is. But this is normal up here. So God, what are you doing for us now? I want you to understand reality. Being able to live in the real world in a real way. To understand rightness. To enjoy real reality, rightness, truth. And in the process, looking, God, so that I'm not trying to produce anything, God, that you have to be. I can't be it. You have to be it. So there's no sense in me trying to kid myself and try to be it, because I can't be it, God. So now, in the light of that, so I'm going to act for myself. I'm going to try to be good enough and right enough. I'm going to try to do all the things that I should and demonstrate my wisdom. And I hope that it qualifies compared to others. It qualifies. And God, that you will receive it. You'll receive my wisdom and my goodness and my rightness, and that you will receive it and accept it as good enough. But you can't do that, God. No, I can't. You can't. Nope. Nope. You have to understand, in you dwelleth no good thing. There's no way I'm going to get anything out of you. I didn't make you to get things out of you. I made you to put things in you. To put things in you. I made you to be a container. That's what I made you for. So you don't have to figure out and play God in the light of the government, in the light of the world, in the light of war and rumors of war and everything else. You don't have to play God. No, we have to let God be God to us. Now, and thus this business of learning. So Joseph, did you? Abraham, you learned. I did. It cost me. I had to learn that in me dwelleth no good thing, Abraham, and God is everything. I had to learn that. It cost me my journey, but I did learn it. And it's, if you lived so long, however old you are, isn't it good you've learned something, isn't it? And we've said it 100 times. Isn't it good that you can say, I can say it for my little bit, you know. I can tell you how not to do a lot of things. I learned them. Don't do that. I can't tell you how to do it, but I can tell you how not to do it. Don't do it that way. It won't work. Learned it. Uh-huh. God, well, what am I going to learn? I'm so old, God, I want to learn something. I want to be in the process of being educated. I want to have a hearing ear in order to obey, in order to learn. Uh-huh, okay. Like the Lord, our Lord said, them that obey him. All right, you did it, Lord, in your perfect humanity. I certainly am going to have to do it in my imperfect humanity. Now, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, over to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And picking up, please, you remember now, I'm going to use Joseph. Here's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And here's Genesis 39. And in the process, Joseph is going to learn. He is. And so let's follow and see how it works. 39 and verse 3. And Joseph, remember, was brought down to Potiphar, etc. And in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, that Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph, you're looking to God, and looking to God as a vessel in Egypt, the world system, and you're able to go, and the world system notes that God is with you, not the gods of Egypt. God. We know our gods. We create them, Buddhas and everything. We create them. But God, no one creates you. God, you're with Joseph. Uh-huh, that's right. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So, God, you've been very gracious to Joseph. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 41. And picking up, please, you'll get the thought. Here again, just getting a thought on Joseph. How did Joseph do? Verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, remember, Pharaoh's looking for good things out of him. Pharaoh's looking for power and ability and answers. But it isn't in Joseph. Joseph says, no, you're looking, it isn't me. Daniel will say the same thing. It's not me, Nebuchadnezzar. No, sir. It's my God. That's why I can do and say and understand. Thus, Genesis 41, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God shall do so. Verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Joseph, do you stand out among all the hierarchy in Egypt? You bet he does. And it isn't. And Joseph's not going to claim one drop of it. Not one drop. Not one drop at all. No, he's looking to God. And God and all of them look at him. The people of Egypt look at Joseph, but Joseph looks at God. Wow. And thus, Joseph, did you get it all? Did you communicate? Did you understand? Yes, I did. I understand how it worked. Eventually, even more so. Chapter 50. And in chapter 50, going if I can, you're familiar with verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God, I look to God as and being treated in prison, in and out of prison and everything. And God, I just look to him. And that's how it all came out for you guys. That's his brothers and father. And it all came out good. It all came out good. Uh-huh, it did. It did. God, wow. I trusted God. Wow, I was a vessel fit for the master's use. Over to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses is going to bless the tribes of Israel. And I want to look at the tribe of Joseph. Moses' blessing on Joseph. Chapter 33, verse 13 of Deuteronomy. And of Joseph he said, blessed be the Lord, be his land, for the generous things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that croucheth beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, for the precious things put forth by the moon, for the chief things of ancient old mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. God, you bless Joseph in all the surrounding and all the things around him. Verse 16, for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, upon the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Joseph was blessed and blessed and blessed because he allowed God in his nothingness for God to be all in all, for God to be God to him in a most wonderful way. Now, would you please note in verse 16, the good will of him that dwelleth in the bush. Now, go back with me over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. The good will of him that dwell in the bush. That's the one I want. Wow. And in the process now, in the bush. Herein, remember, is Moses. He's referring to the God who is in the bush. Not the bush's God. God who is in the bush. God used the bush. Now, and you remember, Moses, a wonderful example. Moses is a statesman. He's a soldier. He's a superior in management, power. He's up there with Pharaoh in military skill, power, influence, language, scholarship. Moses is a marvel, like Paul. A marvel Moses is. Wow. Boy, God, did you get something when you got him? Did you get a package? Boy, you got a package when you got Moses. Yeah, well, and so Moses said, well, boy, you know, being a Hebrew, and they ended up doing a little thing he shouldn't have done and had to run away from Pharaoh. In the process of running away from Pharaoh and going away as he went, and in the process, and remember now, Moses is one qualified guy. But God, what are you going to do? I'm going to help him. I'm going to help a man. I'm going to help the man. And you cannot do God's work in man's way. Moses, you can't do God's work in man's way. In Egypt, you could get along very well. In the world, you get along quite well. But with God, you don't get along. You can't do it. You can't do it that way. Not at all. And scholarship does not replace relationship. They say, well, I got understanding. And he was a scholar. I know the language. He had it. He had it. That's why he grew up with God. God had prepared him for a conversation, etc. And writing and translating and all that stuff. And in the process, so God, scholarship cannot replace relationship, no. And ability. Moses had ability. But he needed to have availability. Ability isn't the same as availability. Now, God, what are you going to do? God does something wonderful. He arrests his attention, you remember, out in the Sinai, up in the mountains up there, and down with Sinai, and up in Saudi Arabia up there. And up and there's up there in the mountains with a few sheep. He's in the same place. He went around and around with his sheep, taking care of a few sheep. He ended up a shepherd, under-shepherd of his father-in-law. So now, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So here's Mount Sinai. Uh-huh. And there it is, up there, and Moses is there. Abraham's going to go there. Moses is there. And now, and his, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. So here's a bush, and he's past the bush all the time. Now remember, this bush is a Hebrew word, thorn bush. Thorn, thorny, prick, to point, to hurt, to sharp. Are the pricks, and then you take the noun down. It's a thorn bush. And a thorn bush, someone has said, you know, a thorn bush is that which was cursed, thorns. Remember Genesis 3 and 19? I'll curse the ground. And the thorns. The thorns. It's a bush that was cursed and never had leaves. All the thorns should have been lovely leaves, but they never were leaves. They stayed thorns. And to take it further, do you remember what they put on the top of the head of our Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified? And as he was crucified, a crown of what? Thorns. Thorn bush on his head. Thorn bush. Moses, I'm going to talk to you out of a thorn bush. Out of a thorn bush. I'm not going to talk to you out of a big pine tree, cedar, Lebanon. I'm going to talk to you out of a thorn bush, a cursed bush. I'm going to talk to you. It isn't the bush. No, it's not the bush at all. It's the God in the bush. And thus, verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Aha, that got his attention. It did. Thorn bush should have been gone in a sweep in a moment, but it wasn't. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, a bush burning that never burns up. Why the bush is not burnt? For what reason is it not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here am I, God. God, you're going to introduce yourself to Moses. That's right. I'm going to do so. And in doing so, God saw, he saw that Moses would pay attention. He had Moses' attention. And God is going to talk to him. And you know where he's going to talk to them? He's going to talk to them out of that thorn bush. Here he is. He could talk. Pretty soon he's going to talk to them from Mount Sinai. Wow. No. My introduction is in that thorn bush. So you learn. You learn to find God. God, where are you? Where? He's right here. We got to look all over the place for God. God, where are you? What part of the universe are you in? Oh, I'm right here. I'm right where you are. You want to find me? You want to see something great? You let me be God, and I'll do what I need to do, when I need to do it, if I need to do it, and you will have a part of it if I want you to. Otherwise, you just enjoy who I am, old thorn bush. You just enjoy me, God, in a thorn bush. Ah, yes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amazing, amazing. Wow. So now, here's Moses, and God is going to be honored. God is going to be yielded to. And in the process, what are you going to do? Well, in verse 5, he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And remember now, it's only holy because God is there. After this, the bush is the same bush. And you could touch the bush and leave your shoes on, and it won't make any difference. God isn't there anymore. He was there in a moment of time. Now, Moses, well, I'm there. This is holy ground. And thus, your shoes, you've got to take them off. The shoes walk out there in the world all over the place. They're from the world. They're for the world. And you know what the Lord Jesus said without doing all that in John 13 to Peter? The Lord Jesus said to Peter, I don't need to wash you. I just need to wash your feet. They're in the world. I washed your heart, but your feet are in the world. You live in this body on planet Earth, coming and going everywhere, and you're absorbing like coal dust down in the mind. You absorb it, and you need to be washed. And the blood of Jesus Christ as one cleanses us from all sin. So as the world falls on us and we're in a different place. We'll see it tonight. Wow. So God, here we are. It's holy ground. Holy, holy, holy ground. And so God, you're going to deal with the heart? Uh-huh, I am. And in verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. Now, God, Moses, what are you learning? Well, what happened to your statesmanship? What happened to your scholarship? What happened to your military skill? What happened to your wonderful, wonderful linguistic ability? What happened to all of your who you were? Moses shrunk, man-sized, for God to be God-sized. God greater. John the Baptist said it. I must, what? Decrease. And he must, what? Increase. I got to get humbled down so God can get big. If I have a little God and I can put him in my pocket, you tell me how much you're going to trust that God. You don't put God in your pocket or in your mind or in your intelligence or in anything. God is who he is in his magnificent, infinite being, invisible, infinite being, and God. Wow. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's right. And God, for your allness, God. For the allness, God. Wow. Now, God, what do we know? Oh, over, if you would, to John. Tying it together, if I can. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, Moses is going to allow God to be wonderfully God. Moses is going to have problems because he starts looking. Remember, I'll give you just one of them. Moses lost his patience with Israel. He got impatient. And they were so hard-hearted and so off the wall, he got frustrated, remember, with a rock. And he hit it. And remember what God had to do. God gave water. But Moses had to learn a lesson again, even more. Moses, it isn't your grace. And it isn't your long before being angry. And it isn't your mercy. It's mine. Your mercy and grace and patience was too small. You needed to wait longer. You had to learn my grace would have been sufficient. You cut in because you thought, God, you weren't moving fast enough, and you cut in there to fill in what you thought I wasn't doing. And you didn't allow me for my allness, for your nothingness. Your nothingness. Ah, yes. John chapter 2, you'll remember. In verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Fill the water pots with water. You remember? And in verse 6, how many were there? And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And in the process, he changed the 6 water pots into fill them up with the fruit of the vine. That's what he did. Wow. He did that. Wow. And a wonderful thing. He took just water pots. Uh-huh. Just plain water pots. That's what he did. Go on. Do you read you know, all those things? You know, with Samson? Samson, God made Samson one strong guy. He didn't look like, I tell you, Charles Atlas, but you guys, some of you don't even ever know there was a Charles Atlas. Charles Atlas used to hold the world up. Do you remember, some of you? Had the world up here, the whole globe up here. Wow. Wow. Schwarzenegger? The whole world. Wow. God, Samson, we don't have anybody like that. Samson was just him. And God. And he had a wonderful power. God, you could take a thorn bush, a water pot, a man, a human man of the dust of the ground, and take the jawbone of an ass, dead bone, and kill 1,000 Philistines and not get hurt, not even a scratch. God, only you can do that. So we're looking, God, the Lord, the great truth, John 5, you know, without, I do nothing of myself, said the Lord Jesus in his perfect humanity. I'm able to do everything, though, in God's allness. So that there's nothing, in nothing am I deficient. I have enough for everything, for anything. I am totally wanting nothing. I have all my need, all the time. Do I have to be that bankrupt? Ah, yeah. You don't want to trust yourself. You are crucified with Christ, what? Nevertheless, you live. We'll pick it up tonight. Wow. Wow. It's a wonderful thing. Now, and you know, why not? You're already there. And it will make our study of John shorter by everything we do, you know. Over, if you would, to John 6. And you remember, I'm just going to give it to you because you know it. You know, remember the little boy, they were hungry and they got over 5,000 men, over women and children, 15,000 anyway. And in the process, they're all there on the side of the hill and they're all sitting there. It's supper time, whatever, time to eat. And they want to know, Philip, verse 5, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, shall we buy bread that we may eat, that these may eat? And this he said to test Philip, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip, the Lord already knew what Philip was going to think. And Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, and that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Simon Andrew, Peter's brother, he chimed in, said unto him, wonderful thought. You just imagine looking at the crowd. You have to picture this because you want to appreciate it. You got to see over 15,000 people out here on the hill. And more than that, out there in the hill, and here you are down there looking up at him, and the Lord wants to know what we're going to feed him, and Andrew says, hey, here's a little guy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That was brilliant, wonderful provision. You really had it. Andrew, you really got it. You really got it. But we can't do it. Ah, but God said I can. And he went and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he made them go, baskets full, up and down, up and down, up and down, and all the way back, baskets full, fishes and biscuits. Fish and chips. For everybody. For everybody. And full baskets. God, what do you need? I just need a heart. David's brothers were big and powerful, some of them. But God was looking for that guy whose heart God could have use of, that God could fill a heart with himself. That's what God wanted. So here you are in your work, home, school, and you're just little old you, and the world doesn't care about God, and no one cares about the Bible, and everything is going in the wrong direction, mentally, morally, and otherwise. Wow. And so here we are. God, what are we going to do? Well, God, fortunately, you are who you are, and I can bow my head in my heart, and in my nothingness, God, what am I going to give you? Nothing. What can I do for you? Nothing. What can I be for you? Ah. If I believe you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that I ask or think. God. And I can fill your little heart with that which I told my people over and over. Be strong and of good courage. I'll fill your little heart with who I am. And you'll learn to trust me, not trust yourself. Trust me. Don't trust what you see or feel or fear or hear. Trust me, the invisible, infinite God. Ah. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, deal with our hands and our hearts. God, just somehow, God, somehow stimulate us a little bit that we would catch on. We would catch on to the wonderful, wonderful, not even a secret, the wonderful formula for being a human on planet Earth, and being able to survive and to succeed at all times, on every occasion, and in the process of it all, you would teach us to bring all of that to pass. Thank you for loving us, caring, your presence, your power, your plan. Thank you very, very much for knowing all about us. And caring. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Trust you got a little bit. I'm going to sing, please, a stanza or two. 543. 543. Stand together.